And welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Zebra Rick Hour. Brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee of TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. And in just a quick moment, we'll be joined by our co-hosts, Conjureman Ali of ConjureManAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. And this week we have Professor Porterfield of ProfessorPorterfield.com in Denton, Texas, filling in for our wonderful, lovely Miss Cat at LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California this week. Y'all, this week we will also be joined by a very special guest for the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, Kai Armand of ConjureInTheCity.com in Brooklyn, New York. Together, y'all, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our times. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first let's catch up with our co-host, Conjureman Ali and Professor Porterfield. Conjureman Ali?
Thank you, Ms. Tammy Lee, for that wonderful introduction. It's always lovely to hear your voice. How are things in your neck of the woods?
In my neck of the woods, things are great. It's my understanding that retrograde ended yesterday. Hooray. So just wanted to give a shout out for all of us that have just had a little bit of computer challenges and phone challenges with retrograde. But they're actually going quite well. And for all those that are out there listening and have been praying for me and my family, Mom has finished up with the last of her treatment, thank God, and I want to thank you all for your love and prayers, and be blessed to all of you that have been praying for me and my family. I sincerely appreciate it in Jesus' name. I pray for all of y'all to be blessed always. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm very happy to hear that, my dear. It's happy to hear that things
thank
are going
you.
Well.
Miles of
and
you're miles
both
thank
you're definitely
you.
In our thoughts and prayers, and you and your family. And you are definitely right, Mercury retrograde is over. It has definitely been a rough one. Lots
yes.
of people had some technical issues.
Sorry,
but it is over. We're out of it. I'm very happy. For people who don't know, I'm Conjureman Ali. Miss Cat is not going to be joining us today. She's off having fun and having a mini vacation, which is well deserved. At some fair, I believe it's a train fair, but I'm not. I could be wrong. I don't want to misquote.
She is actually at Al Tillman's open house. He's having his open house for his modular layout, and he runs the Southern Pacific and Union Pacific, and is well known for sculpting his mountains and other things out of styrofoam, so they are all there to see his modular backyard layout at Al Tillman's today.
Very exciting. So that's where she is, but she will definitely be back next week, so you can look forward to that. Until then, we have the wonderful Professor Porterfield of the Now You Know show and the Lucky Mojo Radio Network joining us and filling in for Ms. Cat. Before we get there, just a little bit of update on my end. Things are moving along. The holidays are a month away, and I've already started getting some requests about peaceful homework, bringing families back together. I've always noticed that whenever the holidays come around, whenever around November gets closer, December gets closer, people really start to get reflective about their life. They get reflective about what's going on with their families, what's going on in their romantic life. Lots of return to me work, lots of reconciliation work, lots of let's try to restore this family together. It's not a lot of you know, people trying to bring back their boyfriends or girlfriends, but more husbands and wives. You know, me and my husband have been divorced for 2 years, but we're still trying to figure out where we stand with one another. Is it possible to bring our family back together? And so lots of that work, it's rewarding work, but it's also quite challenging work. Whenever people's emotions are so deeply invested in something, it always gets a little complicated. So it's an interesting period of time. I'm looking forward to seeing what the holidays. I know we say holidays and it's a month away, but I could tell you that what I call my holiday root work has started already. But how about you, Professor Porterfield? How have you been these days?
I have been very well. Thank you for asking, my friend. And it's good to hear that the holiday work is starting up and quite a period of time. For some folks, I know it starts on the 31st and then on to the 2nd of November and all the way through. We got a little bit of news here, of course, since I'm sitting in for Miss Cat, I'll try to pass some of her news along. And first of all, I would like to send out a very happy birthday to our normal board operator here on the Lucky Mojo Rootwork Hour, and of course that dashing man about town, Nagashiva. And so we wish him very
happy
birthday.
Our lovely Scorpio.
Our lovely Scorpio, that's right, the Grand Mufti of Satanism himself. And he is, as you said, out having a little mini vacation with our own Miss Cat. Also, the talks have recently begun, and the organization and the dust and the busy and all of the work is getting wound up to begin the preparations for next year's Hoodoo Heritage Festival, folks. So the gears are grinding. Here we go. Get ready.
I'm very happy to hear that. And for people who don't know what the Hoodoo Heritage Festival is, where have you been, first? And second of all, it is a annual festival that is put on by Missionary Independent Spiritualist Church at the Lucky Mojo grounds, where some of the best in the world of root work, conjure, and hoodoo folk magic get together and share with one another. There are workshops, there are activities, there are giveaways, there's take-homes. It's a very exciting, it's a weekend event, usually done Saturday and Sunday, the first week, generally, of May. And it is, I've been there myself, I think, three times now. Yes, I believe three times. And they're always fun. There's always a beginning ceremony of some sort. Last year, I led the opening ceremony and a Kimbanda ceremony. I don't know what this year's will be. And there's always tons of exciting workshops, whether it's learning things like candle magic. Last year we had an amazing class talk about biblical scriptural sorcery by Professor Porterfield and the wonderful Miss Michael. There are also book releases that happen during the Hoodoo Heritage Festival. Many of the workshops are also tied to certain books. So last year, for example, we had Hoodoo Bible book came out, the bone reading book came out, spiritual cleansing book came out by Oral Lepore, the beginnings of the Trolldom was released. So we had lots of wonderful books that were released, and I'm sure that this year it will be the same. It's one of the great things about it is it's not necessarily just a convention where you go sit down and you listen and learn. It's a festival. There's celebration going on. There's music. There's activities. You can go and get readings from your favorite readers. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. It is an experience, and that's why I love the Hoodoo Heritage Festival. So while the details will be coming out in the next few weeks, in the next few months, keep your eyes peeled for that. Keep your eyes and ears peeled for that. And I definitely look forward to it. I know you will be attending this year, right, Professor Porterfield?
Yeah. Yes, I will, my friend. I will definitely be there. And the very first news that we have about this is that you can mark this down. This year it's going to be on the 16th and 17th. So we're doing it a little later in the month.
Then
we have a sort of a movable feast. And I will definitely be there. And I'm just going to throw a little tantalizing taste out for all you wonderful folks: playing cards. So there you go. That's my little teaser.
How exciting. Well, I definitely look forward to it. I cannot confirm yet myself whether I will be attending, but I will definitely make a concerted effort. I've been for the past 3 years, and I can say definitely worth it. So keep a lookout for that. It'll probably be announced as we go in the Lucky Mojo newsletter as well as on the Facebook pages. Let's bring in our guest. It's interesting, you know, talking about this, but we want to make sure we check in with our wonderful Kai Armand. Kai, are you there?
I am here. Thanks so much for checking in on me.
Wonderful. How are you doing today, Kai?
I am wonderful. It's the perfect autumn day here in Brooklyn, and my street is lined with all the most wonderful Halloween decorations that just really bring in the season. I'm really great.
Oh, that's exciting. Well, I will say I'm slightly envious of you because you actually have autumn. For whatever reason, the seasons have changed down here in Southern California, and we still have summer weather. I mean, it's the end of October, and we're still in the mid-80s, so and none of the trees have really changed. So I am a little envious, but I'm happy to hear that you're enjoying your autumn. So as per usual, we have a panel discussion where we talk about something related to hoodoo. What I'm going to do is turn this over to you, Kai, so that you can introduce what our panel discussion is for this radio show, and then we'll open it up to Professor Porterfield and I, and we'll chime in as we go. Sound good?
Absolutely. You know, when Nagashiba asked me what I wanted to talk about this week, what's been on my mind so much lately is the idea of self-mastery. I would say that early in my life, one of the biggest questions I had was, how do people change? You know, people have an opinion one day and they behave one way, and then later on, you know, years later, they say, I saw my ways, or I overcame that trouble, or I overcame that fear, and now I'm different. I've transformed. Mm-hmm. I've changed. And being a Hoodoo Root Doctor, in addition to being initiated and a part of, you know, other communities and traditions, I definitely participated in my fair share of different modalities that help people to change, that help people to become more of who they really are, who they really came into this world to be, to shed old patterns and become more of themselves. And of course, there are far more modalities and exercises that I haven't tried, that I've heard of, than I've done. But as I go about this, being a Hoodoo Root Doctor, and of course being on the show, and always being excited about folk magic, about the ways in which people can take something and make it their own, do it at home, do it in their personal altar, achieve the wisdom and the state of self mastery, which is not really something we can achieve. It's a lifelong process of delving into the dark and making the dark conscious. I'm always thinking about, well, how would I go about this modality that I'm experiencing in another tradition, using some candles, using some baths, what herbs and roots and curios speak to that, so that I can pass that information along to a wider public that might be able to use that. So again, you know, last week we talked about, not last week, but the last time I was on the show, I know I made a big hoopla about the importance of emotional healing.
Right.
And how important it is. I think that, you know, people think emotional healing is something that we do if we've been through one of our culture's societally sanctioned traumas. You know, you went through that one thing that we all know messes people up, so you need emotional healing, when really emotional healing is, I think, something that we all need. So as sort of the other side of that, I think, is how do we become more of the person that we've come here to be, and how do we stand strong in those values versus reactions, versus triggers. And I know that you Conjurmanali, and I know the Professor Porterfield as well, has various exercises within and outside of hoodoo that help you to master your life, to be the person that you really want to be, not necessarily just achieve that goal or attract that thing, but get out of your own way kind of stuff. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Certainly. Well, I you know, it's always leave it to you to bring in the deep and really hard-hitting topics. this is a great, great topic, and I agree with you. There's all sorts of practices that I do that help me along that. But what about you, Professor Porterfield? What is it that you do that helps with self-mastery, that helps with you know, being who you should be, you know, being who you're meant to be?
Well, I'm going to answer that in a way that some people are going to think is flippant, but isn't, and I'm going to try to expand on that quickly. The answer to your question is I do hoodoo. Now, what do I mean by that is this. To me, this is a fascinating topic that we're talking about here today because it stretches its arms out. And to me, this is more than just a sort of a, well, what about, let's say, a meditation technique? Or what about even using a master root or crown of success or et cetera? I see this bigger than that. I see the very act of participating in hoodoo, when you look at it in the context of its culture and its time, as being quintessentially about self-mastery. To own and to master and to have control over oneself and one's environment outside of those others who have power over you, who literally had mastery over you, who had ownership of you. And so to me, when you ask me that, and in not a flippant way at all, my honest answer is, what do I do to master myself and to my environment and to empower myself and to empower my acts? I do hoodoo.
That's a very important statement there, because hoodoo, while anthropologically has often been defined as just folk magic, and it is folk magic, it is more than that. It's a way of thinking, it's a way of living, it's a way of practice, and it is all about self-empowerment. It is about being who you are in a world that tries to shape you and put labels on you and tries to bring you down, whether it is forcing you to, you know, think of the roots of hoodoo, tearing apart families, right? Racial slavery. It springs out of a disempowered culture or disempowered background. And so hoodoo by its very nature is a way of life in trying to recover that and trying to find self-mastery. So I think it's a very important statement. But not to get too philosophical and turn this around to, you know, just kind of practical things. For me, I think there are certain roots that really emphasize this. Master root being the most obvious one. Master of the Woods is another one. John the Conqueror
is
a
two great roots.
Yeah, these are roots that you can work with, really bring out the ability to master your life and your circumstances. Because you can't always control everything that goes on in your life, as much as we'd like to think that we can. We can't control everyone around us, though we'd like to. We can't control everything that goes on, but what we can do is control who we are in those circumstances. Control whether we react to those circumstances or how we react to those circumstances in those situations. And that's being your authentic self, and that's being who you really are. Nothing wrong with trying to change your circumstances either. If you don't like the way your life is going, you can absolutely change it. That's the beauty of hoodoo. So I think this is a very important topic. Kai, what are some things that you do to help along this, you know, in this situation?
Well, you know, absolutely. Those two roots, those two botanicals are two of my absolute favorites when it comes to this kind of work, and for in my own life and in the lives of my clients, whether that I'm utilizing them in terms of bath work or in talismans work. I know that there are some great spells. I don't even know if they're very well known. For using a whole master root and just using, and that's the only botanical that you're using. And then, and sure, we can talk about that another time, but there are many ways of working with that plant that are outside of common knowledge. One of the things in terms of hoodoo that I utilize is I really, one of the reasons why I cultivate an intimacy with my, and I've written a couple of blog posts on this recently, with my helping spirits is because they have eyes that I don't. They have mm-hmm. eyes to see that I don't. And whether it's St. Cyprian or whether it's, you know, St. Expedite has a tremendous amount of wisdom to share with us, you know, and it's so easy to see our helping spirits and these wonderful folk saints and whoever you're working with as banks or loan givers versus versus true friends that who see you possibly more clearly than you see yourself, and if you're willing, you can ask them for wisdom and advice to really give you that information. And I'll tell you, when this really hit for me, and I talked about this in a blog post, I know it might sound a little bit silly to some people, but I began singing to my helping spirits. I began singing little songs that I know that are just songs of welcoming, of drawing near to St. Cyprian, to Father Blackhawk, as saying, you know, really come into my life. This isn't just about what I can get from you. This is about us cultivating something real and deep, and me being excited about bringing your medicine into the world. Show me how. And singing was one way the reason why I say singing is because it got me out of my comfort zone. And oftentimes when we're talking about the stuff that's hidden in the dark, we're mm-hmm. talking about that reaction that we keep coming up with. We keep reacting to that same situation in the same way. We keep attracting that same person. We're talking about a pattern that's hidden in the dark. And in order for us to get out of our own way, we got to get out of our own comfort zone. So, you know, helping spirits, they have that kind of wisdom where, you know, we might be about to light that candle with them and they say, hey, you know, this really isn't about that other person. This is about you, you know. And we say, well, okay, let me shut up for a second and hear what you have to say. But they also have that wisdom that says, why are you taking so long to light that candle? Flexing your will. Why aren't you taking care of business over here? So I just think that there are so many ways of engaging through the modality of hoodoo, through folk magic, to uncover those deeper patterns that we keep running into, and become master over our own selves, as Professor Porterfield was saying, truly achieve, or at least confidently be in that process of achieving that self-mastery.
You know, that's very important, because this is something that I think clients have a hard time seeing, and this really resonates, because you see this, if you work with anyone, you see this quite often, where people either have a hard time getting that first step, right? I had a client recently where I told them what to do to help their situation out. And it was a dire situation. They came back to me a month later and like, nothing, you know, nothing has changed and my life is still thin. And I asked, well, what did you do? Well, I never actually got around to lighting the candles and doing the baths that you told me. And I go, why? You know, why didn't you do it? And the answer was, I don't know. And I'm like, see, that's the problem. There needs to be an element of why were you unable to take that step in order to better your service? And vice versa, you have, or the exact opposite, I should say, you have this cases where clients come in and they keep doing the same thing over and over again. The situation goes bad and it's the same spell. And it's more often not, I would say, in romantic situations that it seems to be the most prevalent. They keep drawing that same guy back. I'm like, you've done reconciliation work for 3 years now. You keep getting back together, breaking up. He keeps being a total dickhead, if you mind my language. And yet things go bad, you go right back to your honey jar, you go right back to your doll baby, and you draw him back. And you got to ask at some point why. And so I think a strong element of this is self-mastery and also self-awareness, being able to have that clarity and wisdom to see what is the best decision, what is the best choice for me. And like you said, sometimes that involves asking spirits outside of you, asking spirits that have the ability to see where you may not be able to see, asking your ancestors, getting sitting down with them in a session, sitting down with your spirits and asking, is this really the right path for me? Should I really be doing this? Is this what I really want, or is this is this good for me or is this just my ego speaking? Should I really light that candle? Or why is it that I'm unable to light that candle? Why do I lack this self-awareness? Professor Porterfield, what about you? Have you come across this with clients, and how do you address that?
Well, I have to tell you, I think that what you said here is extremely important because, what a shock, right? Brilliant man says something brilliant. Up next, because the thing I think we forget sometimes, particularly when we approach this topic, which is self-mastery, and we hear that word, self, and boy, off we go, get caught up all in the spider webs of self-interest and self-thought. But some of us who are doing this work for other people, it's important for us, at least in my opinion, to remember that we are there to also aid them in obtaining and gaining that same level of self-mastery. And it's like you said,
right.
Oh, well, they say, I never got around to taking the bath. Or, oh, well, I didn't do the thing the way you told me to because it seemed difficult or I couldn't quite bring myself to it. And sometimes what we have forgotten as workers is that our first job before the divination sometimes, but certainly before the prescribing, is to help our client up, all right?
Mm-hmm.
To help them up, to dust them off, to, you know, straighten out the coats and mend the little patches, and put the feet in back in the shoes and go, okay, now we're going to walk down the path and we're going to light the candle and we're going to go over here and we're going to do this, that, and the other thing. And so for me, the idea then becomes reminiscent of physician heal thyself.
Mm-hmm.
How can I remove the blocks from clients? How can I help them up and dust them off if I'm down on the ground covered in dust? If I can't bring myself. So first I have to achieve that for myself, but then I have to remember not to get caught up in this idea of, you know, the spider webs of the self. I have to remember to then offer it to them and show them and give them little things that they can do. Well, even if it's just an affirmation, even if it's just saying, I want you to stop for a moment and say, right now, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, I shall accomplish this goal. You know, anything like that to aid them. And so for myself, to answer your question, what I like to do is exactly that. I kind of have what, you know, as in the South we say, a come to Jesus meeting with them, which is, you know, hey, we got to sit down. You got to stop and do this. Well, I want this man. Yeah, but he's bad for you, and he's been coming back, and he's been doing all this. Well, I want. Well, my job as a worker is not to be a gumball machine where you stick coins in and I pop out whatever conjure gumball color you want. Sometimes I'm there to have that come to Jesus meeting to give them some personal mastery so that they can heal and so that they can achieve what they need to achieve.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's a very good point. And this is, I think, where the doctor and root doctor comes in. And I tell this to clients when they come to me and they go, well, I want this, 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 and this. And I go, that's great. Let me diagnose, right? Let me see what's needed in this situation. You came to me. But the point that you said, that you have to first kind of master yourself before you can be in that position, is really important. Before anyone thinks of helping others, they have to first be able to kind of help themselves. Now, this isn't a situation of, oh, I'm up on high and I'm reaching down, but more along the lines of, I've walked the path, I know the stumbles that are there, and because I have gone through that path, I can see what's happening in your situation. At the end of the day, you can only guide and counsel, and you can have those come to Jesus moments, and you can have those discussions, but at the end of the day, there's also an element from the client. There's an aspect that the client has to bring, and there has to be a willingness to listen. Because I can tell you how many times, and both of you can attest to this, how many times do you tell a client something, but they may not hear it until they heard it the 10th time, right?
That's
or until they've experienced
true.
It for themselves.
Absolutely.
And that's where self-awareness and self-mastery comes from. You can be guided to something. You can be told something is unwise. You can be given the tools. But at the end of the day, it's still in the hands of the client because it is self-mastery. And it's up to them to take that first step And it isn't easy. This isn't a, oh, why aren't clients doing their work type of scenario. It isn't easy. It's an experience that takes time, and self-awareness is painful. There is a famous Greek saying that says, wisdom comes only through suffering. And I think that's very, very poignant in cases like this, and very poignant when it comes to things like mastery and self-wisdom. You don't become wise and you don't become masterful in your life overnight, and it doesn't come easily. It comes through struggle and suffering. That's when you truly kind of emerge out of that crucible and you have the power to affect your life. Would you agree with that,
Conjurman? You ain't never told no lie, Conjurman Ali. You ain't never told no lie. I mean, the thing is, I use the word, anyone who's familiar with my work or my blog, I use the word medicine a lot. And when I use the word medicine, I'm often talking about the perspective that a plant has, or the perspective that a person has, or, you know, even, you know, I'm feeling kind of down tonight. I know that me going out with my friends tonight and being cheered up by them, that would be very good medicine for my spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And when you've been through something, you know, that's a part of your medicine. That's when you've been through something and come to the other side with wisdom and resolve, and you can lead somebody else through the fire, that's a part of your medicine. And not everyone has the same medicine. Thank God. That's why, you know, we all specialize in different things, in different, not just quickly categorizable conditions, but also different aspects of those conditions. Because we've been through something, and we have the medicine that speaks most to helping someone remediate that situation. So absolutely, and it's choosing the path of self-mastery, however one goes about that, whether it be through hoodoo, whether it be through someone taking up a practice of shadow work. There are many different kinds of shadow walking paths. It takes tremendous humility, and it also takes faith that you're going to come to the other side, faith that you are a child of God, you are an aspect of the divine, and you came here to be your best, and you can. No matter how many times you come up against that brick wall, that wall is going to disappear one day, and you're going to find yourself on the other side.
So somebody give us an amen.
Amen, definitely.
Amen.
That's very powerful.
Amen, absolutely.
And you know, folks, we're not trying to, don't get this twisted up. This isn't a rag on clients. What we're saying here is that often it is exactly the help that is needed is self-mastery. It is to be able to be picked up, to have the dust knocked off of you. And the thing I would like to say quickly here is that sometimes, particularly in hoodoo, when we look at the various herbs or items that aid in this, what we see is that they work on a number of different fronts, meaning that they're good for love work, they're good for work in the workplace, they're good for work about vitality, they're good for work in study. And that's part of how you help identify that these are the herbs and these are the curios that are going to help with that idea of self-mastery. And we've just named a few, Master of the Woods and Master Root. But Kai, what do you think about Samson Snake Root?
Samson Snake Root is wonderful for truly wonderful, because I had this great exercise with a group of students I was working with earlier this year, and I just put a bit of plant matter, a bit of a botanical in each one's hand, and I said, I'm not going to tell you what this is, which really freaked them out, but I said, just talk to it, just ask it what it has to say. And some of these roots, which we are so highly lauded for their work in success and job getting. Now, my students didn't know this when I put these roots in their hand, what these roots were, but they immediately felt their heads raise up when they asked this plant, what's your medicine? What's your perspective on the world? And they would say, I feel like this plant's perspective is about my head being raised up and me sort of flexing my chest muscles, or I feel like my head is a bit clearer. I feel a bit more grounded. All of these ways in which all of these sort of gestures and ways of being that speak to being more fully in our body, that speak to being proud of who we really are, of raising our heads up, of being fully present. And, you know, otherwise, you know, we take a gravel root, which is wonderful, and we say, gravel root, it helps me get a job. But part of gravel root's medicine is it's saying, stand up. Stand up and be tall. You are, show your greatness, show your bigness. let people see it. And that's, you know, whether you're carrying it in a talisman or whether you've had it, you know, in your bag, that's part of what it's bringing to the conversation. Absolutely. I heard you, if I'm not mistaken, Professor Portofino, I'm pretty sure you're about to say one of my favorite plants, which is also in abundance in New York, Solomon seal root, which
yes.
is just, I mean, praise be. Praise be to that wonderful plant ally for its medicine in this world, helping us to move with greater wisdom and discernment at every step we take. We're surrounded by so many wonderful, wonderful friends in the plant and animal kingdoms, as well as friends, of course, in the human species. And we can't fail. We have so much to be grateful for. We can't fail, no matter what it is that we are trying to do.
Obsidian Pizza in the chat room asks, would Crucible of Courage help encourage one along the more difficult path of personal self-mastery? And the answer is yes. We've talked about some roots and herbs, but there are also products that can be used that will assist. For example, Crucible of Courage is one of them. Mastery Oil, a Master Key for more spiritual matters. Power Oil is another a good one. Clarity is also good. King Solomon's Wisdom. These are all oils, powders, incenses that can be used that can help with self-mastery, that can help with taking steps along those lines. Professor Porterfield, are there any psalms that you know off the top of your head as our scriptural master over there, our scriptural rabbi, that would help with self-mastery, bringing in wisdom, bringing in self-empowerment?
Well, you know, there are a number of psalms for this, and you have to sort of stop for a moment and consider the psalms as what they were, because this goes back to what Kai was talking about with the idea of him singing.
Yeah.
And it's very important to remember that the psalms were, or what we regard them now as poetry, they were originally songs.
They were.
Now, most of those songs have been lost to us, but we still have the notation mm-hmm. for the choir director, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But I would suggest Psalm 68,
mm-hmm.
Which is speaking of God's majestic power, and
mm-hmm.
that is aiding in that. Psalm 68 is a very good psalm for that, and often you see the 34th verse of Psalm 68 used for that. But, again, it depends, because when we talk about this, and we talk about this kind of very broad subject, self-mastery, most of the time that's going to be broken down into something. You know,
mm-hmm,
mastery of
mm-hmm.
what? Mastery of our emotions? Oh, you're going to want mm-hmm. to use this psalm. Mastery of the occult? Oh,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever. But when we're talking about confidence, my advice is to use Psalm 8. Psalm 8 is
yes,
an excellent.
I was just about to say that.
Particularly, and I would particularly advise people to light a yellow or golden candle when they and pray Psalm 8 with that while that candle burns.
Mm-hmm.
So that's you know, the other thing also to remember is, you know, hey folks, there's a lot more than the Psalms. There's a lot of other scripture there, you know. Don't be afraid to use the other pieces of it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Psalm
I can do
I,
all
I,
things through Christ who strengthens me.
Yeah,
yes, there
absolutely.
You go.
Absolutely. I have to say Psalm 8 is definitely one of my favorites. I have found that Psalm 8 is also very good in mastery of social situation in particular. So for people who are dealing with social circumstances, whether it's work or school, and they need that element of self-mastery, of being able to be, you know, confident and strong and having wisdom and also having influence outside of yourself. Because it starts with controlling yourself, and then that control, you become a center of gravity. You're able to kind of influence around you. That's how it starts. Psalm 8 is excellent for that. So I definitely second that recommendation. This has been
it's also
fantastic.
Interestingly. I'm sorry,
go
I was
ahead,
just going to say,
go
it also
real
interestingly
quick.
Is very good for a business, to improve
yes,
businesses.
Yeah, social situations, business, school, it's excellent. It is really an amazing psalm, and I love using it. This has been a fantastic discussion. As always, Kai, you bring out the deep topics, the topics that really go beyond just looking at things like love spells and money spells, which are great and excellent, but really getting into the root of spiritual conditions. So I thank you for that. It's been excellent. But it's time to turn to our callers and get some readings going. So I'm going to turn this over to the lovely Miss Tammy Lee, who can guide us into our first caller.
Well, yes, sir, Conjurman Ali, and thank you so much, y'all. The Lucky Mojo Hoodie Rubric Hour with your host, Conjurman Ali, and this week's very special co-host filling in for our lovely Miss Catherine Ironwood, Professor Porterfield, and, of course, Kai Armand of ConjureInTheCity.com in Brooklyn, New York. We'll be right back. We will be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our call-in clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or by telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. And if you have filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Ms. Tammy Lee, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now, we're going to go ahead and go to the first person that signed up, Joanna, in our chat room, the Lucky Mojo chat room. That's 606 Kentucky, Joanna. Joanna, are you there,
yes.
Caller? Hi.
Yes.
Welcome to the show, or welcome back to the show, I should say, and thank you so much for joining us and for being a loyal listener. I'm going to go ahead and remind our host and our very special guest member from air today that you did call in June of 2014, and also go ahead and let them know that you have had private readings with Professor Ames, okay, regarding a different topic, okay? And Joanna writes, my dad has a medical private practice, one which our whole family works for. Recent state legislation will make it very difficult for us to remain in business. I'm afraid we'll have to close if nothing is done, but we don't want to call too much attention to ourselves either. What's the best thing for us to do? Turning it back over to you.
Thank you, Ms. Tammy Lee. That's brief, but we'll get right to it. Before we get started, Joanna, if you don't mind me asking, what sign of the zodiac are you?
What sign?
Mm-hmm.
Gemini.
Gemini, all right. Thank you for that. And you said this is a family private practice, right? Thank you very much. So we're going to have Professor Porterfield, who's filling in for Ms. Cat, take the first reading, and he can go take it from here. Professor Porterfield.
Well, hello, Miss. How are you today?
Good.
I'm glad to hear that. All right. I read straight playing cards. These are the same sort of cards that you would play poker or blackjack or canasta with. And I'm going to do a very quick three-card reading here and see what we can see. Although, it sounds to me more like your questions are going to be answered through advice through spell work. Let's see if we can see something here. All right. Well, what we've got here is we have the Seven of Diamonds, and to its immediate right, we've got the Ace of Clubs, and to its immediate left, we have the Five of Clubs. So, first of all, there are definitely some oppressive factors that are going on here. This is not merely something that, oh, just wait and see and it'll go away, or you're making a little too much of a to-do about this. Your concerns are very much grounded here. However, we do have the reminder here of this Seven of Clubs, and that is telling us here that not everything is as dark as it might seem. Very positive card here. It is interesting that where we are discussing a matter of business, all we have here are diamonds, which represent our material wealth, and money and clubs, which represent, in my form of reading, the method by which we make our money. So the spread you have here is very much a spread for business. Now, the ace is sitting here on the right-hand position, which for me is the pillar of severity, the outer world. And that ace is, of course, a very positive sign here. The ace is the beginning from which all other numbers then progress out until eventually we reach the 10. So here, this is telling me that the first thing is there needs to be some patience here. You need to sit back and take a brief moment to see how this is going to gel up with this legislation that has gone through and what the actual problems are going to be, because there are only so many problems that can be addressed before they are seen. Meaning we can always make preparations, and it's very, very good to be prepared, but in this matter, you're going to need to let some of those problems actually form so they can be defeated directly. The five in the left-hand position, the pillar of mercy and the inner life, which is going to talk here about the inner workings of the business, tell me that flexibility and the idea of accepting new ideas, a new way of operation, new procedural matters is going to benefit this business greatly. In fact, flexibility will bring luck, is how I would say that to you. The seven of diamonds, which is sitting right in the middle, that's very, very good, because you see these two work cards, these two clubs, are balancing. They're hanging on either side of this seven. If this particular little setup of cards had been a little bit different, not so good. But here, the work is balancing the money. And the money here is being exemplified by the seven. Very good card. The seven is very much a sort of a card that exemplifies itself. The sevens rise out of the midst of the other cards. They are very special. And the seven of diamonds is particularly special because of all the diamonds, it is only the seven that can be determined to have an up or a down. It is a very, very special card. And my advice here is that this is saying be prepared for major changes. What has gone on, how that business has been run, cannot be the way it's going to continue to run. You're going to need to go in there. You're going to need to change your procedures. You're going to need to change how you're dealing with the public. And you're going to need to change some things right down almost to the beginning. But the outcome of this is positive. There may be a small period of time where it looks like the money is threatened, but in the end, the money is safe and progresses on, and that five and that ace exemplify that. And there you go.
Mm-hmm. That is wonderful. Thank you, Professor Porterfield, for that. Kai, let's have you do the second reading and see what you can add to this situation, what wisdom you can bring.
Sure, I got to say that was such a wise and excellent reading, Professor Porterfield. I'm reading with the Rider-Waite-Smith deck, and the cards I have really, really speak to what he's saying as well. The first card I have here is the Fool, and the Fool is always talking about new beginnings. It's always talking about, you know, things look real different from this vantage point, and I read in a very sort of animation way. I'm always seeing how the figures in the cards are interacting and moving, and sometimes I see this card and I'm really excited about the Fool's adventure, but right now I'm like, whoa, watch out here, it looks like you're about to jump off of this cliff. So I would absolutely say that with that card and the Seven of Coins card nearby, Professor Porterfield's suggestion of patience is something that I would stand by as well. There's the things that are going to change may not be that which one thinks, and you're going to need to be a bit patient to see what is being affected, rather than having this Page of Swords card jump in. Whenever this card jumps in, I'm always aware of this flock of birds above the page's head, and the flock of birds always just feels like a lot of mental manipulation, a lot of unnecessary worry. Not that change isn't at hand, but not necessarily what you think. And worry is not a helpful emotion. It's not something that's great to put our energy behind at all. In terms of flexibility, I do see the need for flexibility here and creativity. The idea of that Professor Porterfield posited before, here in the Page of Wands card, whenever this card shows up, it's flexibility. I think that sometimes people hear that word and they think it's because they are not good enough or things aren't really in their hands. Whenever I see the Page of Wands, it reminds me of flexibility, but also in a creative way, that this is a wonderful opportunity. It might not seem like it, might not feel like it, and it might not feel like it while you're doing it, but really it'll be a challenge to the family to be creative, find out ways to adapt to whatever hasn't put in their path. And I do believe that you can do this in a good way. I do believe that you will find a way to move forward if you maintain a flexible attitude with the needs of your patients and your clientele at hand as sort of the primary focus.
That is excellent. I think that I couldn't agree more with you in this situation. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you some recommendations on what you can do root work-wise real briefly, and then we're going to have Kai to also join in and Professor Porterfield to add in anything on what you can do to help this situation. So there are going to be some changes. Be prepared for that. The practice will not stay the same. That's okay. Change is not always bad. But what can you do to ensure that you still have a business, right, a medical business, you still have clients, and that you aren't dealt with an overbearing legal system or an overbearing enforcement of whatever legislation is being passed? There's two things that I want you to do. One is to draw in business, and the other is to protect your business. First, in order to draw in business, I want you to work with your ancestors in this situation. Because this is a family business, because everyone is involved, you want to work with your ancestors who are going to have an invested interest in making sure that their descendants continue to prosper. And so what I want you to do is I want you to set up a space for your ancestors. It doesn't have to be big, a small space where you set up their photos, you leave out a cup of tea or coffee, fresh water, some white candles, and you call out to them and ask for their help. Now, on a Sunday, while the moon is waxing, so a day like this, I want you to get yourself a yellow candle, and you're going to write the name of your business, if it has a name, on there, and you're going to dress that with some attraction oil. Set that in a candle holder and place it on your ancestor altar. Light that candle, and by the light of that candle, I want you to get yourself some althea, cinnamon, and gravel root. And you're going to grind this all up together in a mortar and pestle. And you're going to call out to your ancestors as you're grinding up this mixture. And you're going to say, ancestors, we need your help. We need you to make sure that our business continues to be prosperous. It's our family business. We're in this together, and we require your aid. We require your help in order to ensure that we don't lose this business. Grind that all up until you have a nice little powder. It doesn't have to be too fine, but just a good powder. And then get yourself some charcoal, incense charcoal. Light it in the candle, place it on a heat-proof dish or a censer or a thurible, and put your mixture, that ground-up mixture, onto the hot coal and give it as an offering to spirit. Give that incense to them. Say, I'm giving you this incense. Please ensure that you bring in money, that you bring in clients. Let the incense waft up the smoke. Give that burnt offering onto your ancestors. And once it's all done, let the candle burn down. Then take the ashes of that, the ashes of the incense, and mix it with some dirt. Dirt from your house and dirt from the business itself, from your family home as well as your business home, and add in a little pinch of sugar. And you're going to lay out that dirt mixture at the front door of your business. You're going to lay it out, and as you do so, you're going to call out that whoever is around here, whoever needs help, will find their way to us. That potential clients will find their way to walking through our door. Potential paying clients will find their way to coming to us. And you're going to lay that dirt mixture on the floor. And you can repeat this as many times as you need. You can do this once a week, once a month, but you do want to do it on a regular basis, once a month at least, little offering to your ancestors, laying down that dirt mixture, and that will ensure that you have a steady stream of clients coming in. The next thing that I want you to do is to protect so that you don't have difficulties with the law, that you don't have difficulties with this legislature. I want you to get yourself some devil shoestring. I want to get you. I want you to get an Indian scent penny, and I want you to get some oregano. And what you're going to do is you're going to take a cloth, and you're going to place a small square cloth. You can also use a mojo bag if you prefer. You can place this in a mojo bag, but I like the tying aspect of this. You're going to take a cloth, and then you're going to place the Indian scent penny right in the center. You're going to anoint that with law, keep away, and protection oil. Then you're going to put your devil shoestring. I want you to put 9 of those, and I want you to put a pinch of oregano. Then you're going to roll this up, folding in all of the sides. And as you do this, you roll it away from you. Say, the eyes of the law are going to stay away from me and my family's business. You're going to take a white string, and you're going to tie this up by tying it up in 2 different directions, so vertically and horizontally. And as you do this, you're going to pray the entire time. The law cannot enter your business. The gaze of the law is turned away. And then you're going to tie it 9 times. And I want you to take that packet, give it a little bit of whiskey, and then bury it at the property of your business. If you don't have dirt, try to hide it somewhere within the business itself. It can be put up into the vents. It can be put up into a potted plant. But if you have dirt at the outside of the business, try to bury it there. And what this will do is this will keep away the eyes of the law. It will keep away the eyes of the legislative branch and enforcement of the legislation. Do these 2 things, and it will help with that transition that both Professor Porterfield and Kai Armand saw. It will help you adopt what changes you need to without being forced out of your business, okay? Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn this over to Kai and see if he has anything to add to that, okay?
I love this work. I think it's so effective for this. And as I was pulling the cards and I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, well, how do we bring all of the resources together of the family? Because as I was saying earlier, everyone has their medicine. We just need them all to be working in alignment, as you guys have been doing already for your business to be working. Now it's just the great challenge. Let's do it all together with, you know, in the midst of this new legislation. And I was also thinking with business, and the first thing that came to my head was the wonder of the Rose of Jericho plant. What I would suggest, in addition to what Conjurman Ali said, would be to find the Rose of Jericho, which is a desert plant that's very closed up. It often lies dormant for a long time until you put it in water. And I would get a blue bowl, and fill it full of water, and speak to that Rose of Jericho plant and say, as you adapt to changing environments, so do you help us to adapt. Because Rose of Jericho, obviously, it's going to open up wide when you put it in this water, and it's also a plant that's very strongly associated with prosperity and bringing in money to your business. And I also love the element of water here, and because of water's malleability and adaptability, and that's part of the situation we're talking about here. So I would suggest putting that Rose of Jericho into that bowl of water and adding some coins of every denomination possible, international coins, etc. And you can, if you wanted to, add some law keep away elements to this by putting in some scouts. You can even find a way to affix them to the outside of the bowl or along the edge to look out and make sure that that which would harm the business would be kept out. I would suggest doing this, and if you can put this on top of a logo of the family's business, I think that would be an incredible addition. I'm not exactly sure the protocols of your practice, if you would be able to bring it into your business. Oftentimes these are kept inside business shops. That would be wonderful. If not, this is something that you can possibly keep near your ancestor altar while you're praying, because it's a wonderful plant for that element for both business and bringing in money, but also that element of temperance. Oftentimes when I've been inside business shops, botanicas that have this, they say, oh yeah, it helps bring in prosperity, but it also has this cleansing aspect to it. It brings in, it helps with the good vibes of the space. So if you can't bring it into the business itself, you might wish to put it on top of a logo of the family's mm-hmm. business and ask it to do its magic there.
Well, you know, I was going to say, first of all, brilliant work. Both these two men know exactly what they're doing. You've gotten some excellent, excellent advice there, miss. And they beat me to every punch in the ring. The only thing I was going to say is I was going to advise the use also of a Rose of Jericho. So, Kai, wonderful, wonderful advice there. But my suggestion was this. I was going to say you should put that Rose of Jericho near the phones. You know, in a doctor's office, often the phones are the life's blood of how clients come in and out of that office. Keep that Rose of Jericho near the phones. Put a business card for that business in with that Rose of Jericho. And the last part I was going to say is before you put that Rose of Jericho down, write out, here it is again, Conjure Man Ali, Psalm 8. Write out Psalm 8 and put that in there with that Rose of Jericho and that business card. I think you've gotten some fantastic advice here to say this afternoon.
We were just hearing the same voice, Professor Portofino.
Wonderful suggestions, Kai, and those are great additions, Professor Porterfield. They really, you're right on the money with the idea of right next to the phone and the Rose of Jericho myself. Love it. So thank you for your call, caller, Joanne. I hope everything works out for you. And we're going to move on to our next caller. So Miss Tammy Lee, if you can lead us forward, please.
Absolutely, y'all. And support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic contra practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go directly to the phones and take our next client. And caller, are you there? I'm going to go ahead and lead this dance, okay? Caller, are you there?
Who's the caller?
Can you hear me?
Hello?
Hello? I
719, we can hear you.
Hello?
Hi, great. This is Tammy Lee, and may I have the name that you would like to be referred to on the air, please?
Kendall?
Kendall. Okay, Kendall. And what is the best synopsis of your case in about two sentences for Conjure Man Ali, Professor Porterfield, and Chiron today?
A court case. For something in which I didn't do, the police just did not say that, admit that they were wrong. They just decided to just go ahead and cite me with obstructing business instead of just saying we have the wrong person, which they did.
Okay. Okay. And your direct question to our panel is? With regard to reading and root work?
Is what can I do to help myself and also maybe sweeten the judge up to understand that they made a mistake, they overreacted, and I shouldn't have to pay any court fees or anything else for their mistake.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. I'm going to go ahead and turn this over to our panel, okay? Thank you so much.
Thank you for that, Ms. Tammy Lee. So if I understood your question correctly here, what's going on is that you are being faced with a legal matter mistakenly. They've got the wrong person, and they're accusing the wrong person, and they're still going forward with that. So you want to know what you can do to get this dropped. Is this correct?
Correct.
Okay. If you don't mind me asking, well, is this a civil matter, criminal matter? What exactly is it that...
Criminal matter.
Criminal matter. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to real briefly look at the cards to see if there is something that can be done here, and then we'll go into some work, because you're actually asking more for root work than you are reading, but I have pulled cards here. The very first card that I have here is the Devil. The Devil shows a Baphomet figure sitting on a black stone, and before him are two imps that are chained to that stone. And he has his hand raised, mocking the benediction that we see in the Lover's card as well as in the Hierophant card. So this is an inversion of justice. This is the failure of justice. This is when justice becomes corruption, and that's what the Devil card represents. And it does mean that you're up against something quite heavy. Whenever the Devil card comes up, it means you're going to need some help. You're going to need some strong spiritual help in order to turn this situation around. Do not rely on, you know, justice resolving this on its own. The idea that justice will see out will not come about in this case. You're going to need to do something to bring justice, because right now there is corruption and there's a perversion of justice that's going on. The next card that I have here is the Ace of Cups. It shows a divine hand reaching out of the clouds, and there is a beautiful goblet in that hand, and there's five streams of water that are coming out, pouring into an abundant pool below as the Dove of the Holy Spirit descends into the goblet. Spiritual work, cleansing work, prayer is going to be needed here. Calling upon Spirit to descend and to bring truth and to make people speak the truth. That is going to be your great ally. You have right on your side. Time to bring in the spiritual forces to aid you. The next card that I have is the Page of Cups. This is going to be your legal representation. If you don't have one, you need to make sure you get one. You need someone who is young, someone who is bold, someone who can step up, who can speak quickly, who can speak eloquently, and who will come to your defense. So do not go at this alone. Make sure that you have a defender. Make sure you do some spiritual work on your defender as well, not just on the judge, but to make sure that you have the right person representing you and that his words ring true, sweet, and powerful. Okay, so it's very important that you also work from that angle. So that's just a real quick reading because I want to get really to the root work. So I'm going to turn this over to Kai, see if he wants to do a quick reading, and then we'll dive right in to our root work suggestions.
Absolutely. I'm siding with you here, Contraman Ali. Strong prayer. And I also get the sense that turning to your ancestral helping spirits here would be of great help. Your ancestral helping spirits are individuals who know what a large oppressive forces come bearing down on them, even though they were already in the midst of personal difficulty. They know what that feels like. They were able to meet the challenges of their times. You can ask them to meet the challenges of your time. So I would strongly suggest turning to your ancestral helping spirits. If you cannot make an ancestral altar, I would suggest pouring libations to them at the crossroads. You can take a bit of water and simply let the water drip from a glass or from a bottle and say that these are offerings to you, ancestral helping spirits. Please come to my aid. I would also suggest that the saying of prayers, the repetition of prayers and psalms, Psalm 32, to be strengthened and ensure that good fortune and favor and the favor of the Lord is upon your life and upon your head. And if you can write down a petition of Psalm 32, actually, and place it in your breast pocket or somewhere on your body, that would be strongly advisable. But you're going to want to call on spirit help that cares about you, that believes in you, and wants to see justice served, does not want to see that their own descendants go about the same injustices that they themselves faced while they were alive. You're going to want to call upon these forces to be present with you, and you're going to want to keep your ears and eyes open to the signs that they give you, because this is something that you want to be able to slip out of. Much like High John the Conqueror, the famed
character of Lore was able to slip out of the clutches of oppressive circumstances, you're going to want to call on your helping spirits to help you to do the same. And I do know that there are excellent psalms associated with court cases and injustices as well, but I'm going to leave those to Professor Porterfield whenever he's ready to share them with us.
That was excellent, Kai. Thank you. I think I couldn't agree more with this situation. Professor Porterfield, let's dive into the root work. What would you do in this situation to fix things?
Well, we've got a very serious situation here, and everything I've heard my two colleagues say sounds absolutely correct to me, and just to add my two cents in there, I also drew out the King of Spades and the Joker, so you really need to watch out and be careful around this judge. So let's get down to it, and I hope you have a pencil and paper to take this down, because we're going to really try to knock as much of this out of the park as possible. First of all, you're going to need to work for yourself and work for your advocate and work over the courtroom. So let's start with you. I want you to go and I want you to get the following three ingredients. This is going to be tobacco, salt. Now, me, I prefer kosher salt, but you don't have to use kosher salt, but I think the seriousness of your issue, it might be a good idea. And deer's tongue. Very interesting that we're talking about mastery today, and here's good old deer's tongue. And I want you to mix these three together, tobacco, kosher salt, and deer's tongue, and I want you to place them into a small bag. This is a small bag that you're going to carry on yourself, and as you mix them together, I want you to recite the 23rd Psalm over them. Then, as you tie and seal this bag, I want you to recite the 91st Psalm over them. Again, this is my go-to psalm, but you have a very, very serious matter here, and I think it really demands that we just go straight into that rather than messing about with anything else. Now, at the same time, I want you to go out and I want you to get yourself some black mustard seeds. These black mustard seeds are going to be used by you to try to cause confusion against those that are working against you. Against this, kind of as Contraman Ali said, this corruption and all of that. I want you to take these seeds and I want you to hold them in your left hand. And while you're holding them in your left hand, I want you to pray Psalm 53 over them. But I want you to pray Psalm 53 over them three times, back to back, okay? You're just going to pray Psalm 53, and then you're going to do it again, and then you're going to do it again. But I want you to start that first round by saying, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Then pray Psalm 53, then pray it again, and then pray it a third time. These black mustard seeds you're going to keep in your left pocket. I want you to keep them in your left pocket whenever you have to go into that courtroom, whenever you have to go near it, whenever you have to deal with any of these people, I want you to do that. In your right pocket, you're going to be keeping that bag of kosher salt, tobacco, and deer's tongue that we have discussed. Now, at the same time, I want you to go and get yourself some Little John to chew. This is the great court case worker. And I want you to get them as root chips. Now, in the old days, we would have had people chew this and spit. But I guarantee you, if you go into that courtroom and you're chewing a root and spitting on the floor, you're probably going to end up on another charge. So instead, what I want you to do is I want you to take it and I want you to brew it into a tea. And then I want you to take this tea and I want you to bathe yourself, particularly your head and your hands with this tea before you have your court case. And while you're doing it, again, I want you to use the 23rd Psalm and the 91st Psalm. Now, you may also, if you wish, burn those little John to chew chips on open charcoal to smoke yourself and your clothes, to fumigate yourself before you actually go into that court. Finally, because again, this is a very, very serious matter, and in light of our topic this evening, I would like you to go out and get yourself some Master of the Woods. We're not always in a position where our advocates believe in the work that we do or the kind of practices that we conform to. So I can't tell you to get your lawyer to hold on to this Master of the Woods. Now, if you happen to have a lawyer who's totally into hoodoo and conjure, by all means, go get your lawyer some Master of the Woods to hold in his or her pocket while they're representing you. But if you can't, then what I want you to do is I want you to write out the name of your advocate, the name of your lawyer, on a piece of paper. This is a clean piece of paper with nothing else on it. You can use stationery paper, or you could use what my advice would be a piece of paper bag that is completely clean and is torn away from the rest of the bag, and you will write your advocate's name out 9 times in 9 lines without lifting your pen while you're writing their name. You can go back after you're finished and dot I's, cross T's, etc. But write their name out 9 times in 9 lines without lifting your pen, and then wrap that paper around your Master of the Woods, okay, towards yourself. And you're going to wrap it, you're going to fold it towards yourself, turn it clockwise, fold it towards yourself, turn it clockwise, and fold it towards yourself. And you're going to do that each time. And then, again, we're going to return, interestingly enough, to Psalm 8. And you're going to say, in the name of the Father, the Holy Ghost, in the name of, and name your advocate, name your lawyer, and then pray Psalm 8 over that, and then keep that with you, and keep it with you. Actually, I want you to keep it under your left foot, in your left shoe, with a bay leaf when you go into that courtroom. That will also keep the lawyer from kind of doing anything, you know, like, well, let's just plead guilty, all right? And I think if you do all of that work, that may be of aid to you. Kai, do you have anything you would add to that, though?
I think that you covered it, Professor Porterfield. I really couldn't say better than that. I think that this is a situation of truly girding yourself with spirit help from your ancestral helping spirits, with spirit help of roots and herbs to help ensure that your attorney is truly fighting for you on your side and being honorable, acting honorably in your favor, and I do believe that you're going to see progress in your favor in the situation.
Those were all very great suggestions, and I couldn't agree more. I think that that's exactly what you need. The only thing I would add to this, ancestors and helping spirits is really good. Keeping a little bit, going out to an ancestor's graveyard, keeping them, gathering a bit of the graveyard dirt, giving them points, and carrying that dirt with you, either in your pocket, as it was said, or in your right shoe, is going to help you slip through this situation. Working with your ancestors in for court case is a very old and traditional way of working. Make sure that you also put the judge in some sweetening work, so putting them in honey with some sumac, calendula, deer's tongue, and cascara sagrada. I want sumac in there in some way, shape, or form, because sumac is both the leniency of the court as well as for innocence. So make sure that you have that in the sweetening work with the judge in there so that the judge is favorable to you and your case. It is very important. But I have no doubt that with this work that Professor Porterfield, Kai, and myself have advised you that you can get out of this situation, that there is hope here. As much as you're up against a difficult situation, there is hope. The only other thing I would add is go over to the Crystal Silence League and place a prayer with them, a petition with them, so that you can get the prayer network of the Crystal Silence Network praying on your behalf. That's a lot of spiritual power, bringing in their power against this difficult situation and turning it in your favor. And it's completely free to do. All you have to do is go to crystalsilenceleague.org, and you can place your prayer there. All right, caller, you've had some great suggestions, and we do wish you all the best. Be sure to check in and let us know how things turned out, okay? All right, well, all the best. We're going to have Miss Tammy Lee take us into our next segment.
Yes, sir, Conjurman Ali. And y'all, the Lucky Mojo Hoodie Rootwork Hour is the first show of its type ever to be made available to the public, and it remains the longest-running folk magic radio show to date. Listen by telephone or listen to the archive podcast in iTunes. Either way, you are going to love it. To be selected to be on the air, sign up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. Then dial 818-394-8535 during the show and press the number 1 to let the host know that you're available to be on the air. And if your call is chosen, you'll get a free reading and root work consultation with your host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com and Conjurman Ali of ConjurmanAli.com. And this week we have actually a special guest filling in for our very own Miss Cat, Professor Porterfield, and also a very special guest member from AIR, Kai Armand of ConjureInTheCity.com. Tune in every week at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time to the Lucky Mojo Hoodie Rootwork Hour. Now we're going to go ahead and go to our free spell section. And this is going to go right ahead to Kai Armand, of course, of ConjureInTheCity.com. And he is located, y'all, he is located in Brooklyn, New York. So turning it over to you, Kai.
Well, thank you again so much for having me on the show, and I'm so glad that we have enough time for me to share this spell with you. So in the topic of self-mastery, one of the things I was saying earlier, so often when it comes to truly mastering ourselves, when it comes to walking that, being in that process, we're talking about things that are often hidden in the dark that are that we need works of clarity or the wisdom of helping spirits or helping friends to truly make light to us, and then we need to make the choice to be with whatever that is, whether it's a behavior pattern or an emotional pattern that we keep acting out, and say, well, what do I need to do to change this or to be who I truly need to be? So what I would suggest, actually, is to begin this spell with a medicine walk or a root walk, if you'd like. And I would suggest doing this root walk during the dark of the moon, because this is a self-mastery working of bringing that which is in the dark into the light of consciousness, and then asking the helping spirits and asking the spirits of herbs and roots to help us to change that energy within ourselves. So you can take a walk, you might want to light an ancestor a candle with your ancestral helping spirits, or call on whatever helping spirits are of a particular closeness to you, and say, I'm going on this walk and I ask for the light of illumination to light my way. And you're going to take a meditative walk, maybe 15 minutes to a half hour around the block or through a natural environment during the dark of the moon at night. If you live in an urban area, you'd be surprised what you can pick up. Maybe it might not be an object on the ground. It might be something that someone says when you walk by. Spirit is alive and everywhere. And what you're looking for is an object that represents something that you need to bring into the light of consciousness about yourself and in your own life. It might be some plant matter, it might be a coin, it might be, again, some words that you hear on the street. What you're going to do is you're going to walk with the eye of spirit in your mind. As you look for this object, you might choose to even put a bit of clarity oil or psychic vision oil on yourself before you go and take this meditative journey out into the world. And what you do is when you find that object, it should be glowing, it should be jumping out at you. You will know that this is the object for you. You're going to bring that home, and you're going to put it by your bedside, and you are going to, if you haven't put on any psychic vision oil or clarity oil yet, you might want to do so now, because you are asking spirit to bring you a dream about what this means. And when you wake up in the morning, you write that dream down. If you don't understand it yet, you might choose to put a glass of water on top of your dream journal, so that with a bit of clarity oil inside this, if you'd like, so that you can sort of meditate on it throughout the day. And what you're going to do then is you're going to take a figural candle of your sex, so one that speaks to your sex or speaks to the gender that you are in this lifetime that you're choosing to be, and you're going to dress it. You're going to dress it with master key oil. You're going to dress it with a power oil or a high John oil, and you're also going to dress it with King Solomon wisdom oil. And we were talking about these roots earlier, and you're going to bring them into play here. Some master root, master of the woods, and Solomon seal root. And you're going to work that figural candle for 9 days in front of your dream journal and with that object there, whatever that object represents, and that you can make a petition paper that speaks to your understanding of what that object might be, might mean in your life, whether that object is meaning. It's time to bring out that greater courage. You have it in you, and it's time to bring it out of the darkness into the light. Or that object might mean it's time to bring that humility forward. It's time to bring that humility or that playfulness into the light. And you're going to use, this is now a medicine object for you. It's not something that disintegrates. This can be a power object for you for long after this spell is done. But I would suggest putting in 9 needles into this figural candle and working this spell over 9 days, affirming that this medicine, that this object represents, is now being cultivated in your life. As the moon is waxing, so does this energy wax in your life. And you might have dreams well past the first night, especially if you're choosing to engage with spirit in such a deep way that you've sort of taken a walk with spirit guiding you. I can almost assure you you'll have dreams beyond the first night. And write those down too, because it's a road. It's a road, people, and spirit is holding our hands and trying to walk us down it. Sometimes we're dragged down it kicking and screaming, but this is one way that we can sort of surrender and yield to those signs that spirit is trying to bring to us about ourselves, because they're really only signs so that we can be more of who we really are. They're really only signs that we can be more of our authentic self. So I hope this spell has been a help to you, and it's multi-layered. It's a tremendous amount of variations, but I do believe that if you put it to good use, you're going to find true transformation in a good way at hand.
Wow, that is powerful, powerful stuff.
Very nice.
Wow, I love it. I really, really do. Where did this working come from? Is this something that you developed? Is this something that came to you directly from spirit? If you don't mind me asking a little bit about the history of it.
Sure. I would say that it's definitely related to my work in shamanism and just the knowledge that wherever we are, there's something that's talking to us, whether it be a conversation mm-hmm. happening on the subway or a medicine object on the street. We're living in a living universe. The universe is a living organism that we're a part of, and this working, this way of working things, really just came directly from spirit. I actually woke up one morning and I was thinking about the spell, and I said, that's funny that spell came to me last night. I wonder where it came from. I said, oh wow, that wasn't my creativity. That was something else.
Well, you know, it's like the old saying, no matter where you go, there you are.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that is powerful, powerful stuff. Thank you for sharing that with us, Kai. It was absolutely beautiful. And we're coming to the end of our show, and we're going to have the lovely Miss Tammy Lee take us out.
Well, thank you so much, Conjurman Ali, and thank you, Professor Porterfield at ProfessorPorterfield.com in Denton, Texas, for being our guest host today, and for our wonderful Miss Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com. And thank you so much, Kai Armand of ConjureInTheCity.com in Brooklyn, New York, for being our special guest member from AIR this week. We invite you to tune in next week when we will have another great member from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers here on the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour. And once again, y'all, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Ms. Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at conjurmanali.com, Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Ms. Tammy Lee, joining you from TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. And the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Brewwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you all so much for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye, and be blessed, and happy birthday, Nagashiva. We love you.
Thank you for that, Miss Tammy Lee. That was a great exit. I want to thank everyone for tuning in. You are the reason this show is possible. Of course, a great thank you to Kat and Nagashiva. Hope they're having lots of fun. Thank you to you, Professor Porterfield, for stepping up and helping us out here by being my co-host. And, of course, to the lovely Kai for being an amazing guest. I do want to remind everyone that the Lucky Mojo Radio Network is up. Be sure to tune in as there is a show about every day. Monday is Candelo's Corner. Tuesday is In the Street with Beverly Smith. Wednesday, Liquid Vibration with Andrea Weston. Thursday is the Now You Know Show with the famed Professor Porterfield. So you've got something every single day almost. Be sure to tune into them. Don't miss out. They're amazing, amazing shows. I always catch them in the archives, and they are phenomenal. And there is more to come. Professor Porterfield, who is the manager of the network, has some great schemes and plots and plans prepared for us. So be sure to tune in and keep your eyes peeled. So have a great weekend, and see everyone next week. Bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.